Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Mondays, we ask Eric Zorin, the longtime Tribune columnist, now the publisher of a newsletter called the Picayune Sentinel, to join us. And today's Monday, so there's Eric Zorin. Do you collect anything, Eric? Are you a keeper of stuff?
I collect grievances, John.
Yeah. Give me your five best ones. Your five, the ones that are on the mantle of the grievance mantle in the Zorin household. The way I was treated in ninth grade, number one. Stuff like
that. I tell you, there's just too many to categorize like that. But, I've never been a collector of stuff. It just feels like material that gathers in your house and someone's got to deal with it when you pass on. So I'm saving my children that chore by not collecting it.
Brenda and I were doing a little unpacking and packing and moving stuff around over the weekend, and I thought about that. I thought, why do I have all this stuff? And I thought, well, because I like it. I value it. It brings me happiness. Furniture of house, a house full of furniture and stuff, right? And I thought, but when Brenda and I go away, I don't know that my kids will have the same feeling for it. So all of this acquisition is just going to be a chore for them down the road. And I'm okay with that. They don't have to keep any of it. For all I care, they can call one of those people that, pack up the stuff and sell the stuff for you, and they can just keep the cash, all $28 they'll get from it.
Yeah, I don't know your ball caps are going to sell at an estate sale, John, but maybe.
That's the thing. I'm like, that's the other thing. There's instantly devalued. Nothing was rising up. We did collect Department 56 little village Christmas houses and things so that we could light them up and set them on the table at Christmas time. And then that collection got too big. So now it's mostly in boxes. So I'm not sure I understand. I understand the pang of it, the desire for this stuff, but I don't have, if you have 38,000 keychains, where are they? What are you doing with them,
Well, one thing that we managed to accumulate a lot of musical instruments over the years,
because
my son and I both play a lot, but it's not a collection so much as it's just we don't know what to do with it, because it's like I've got this nice mandolin that I don't play that much, but I don't want to give it away. I don't want to go through the trouble of selling it, so it sticks around and it dries out in the winter and the top cracks, and I don't know.
How many instruments do you own?
I would guess we have 25 instruments in the house, something like that. We have five fiddles, probably 10 guitars, four or five banjos. We definitely have four mandolins. So maybe it's closer to 20. And we've got a piano, of course. And I don't know. And way more than we need. But
630 says, all these collections are so interesting, but where in the world do these people store these hundreds of items? Yeah, that's a good question. John, I collect vintage gas station memorabilia. That's pretty cool. But to the person who collects the stickers peeled off of bananas, that's right up there with ceramic nuns and some of the other odd ones we've been reading about today.
Those things are trash, John. That's garbage, these people that collect. I mean, the nuns, I'm not into it, but I can understand that. But collecting stickers from fruit?
Fingernail clippers. We got a lot of them out there. Eric, yeah. Let's talk a little bit about, you've been following the debates that aren't happening for the governor's race here. What's the latest on that?
Well, there was this odd period where the candidates for governor were not finding times to agree to appear together, particularly Richard Irvin, the mayor of Aurora, and these are the Republican candidates for governor right now. The primary is coming up in June 28th, and there are five prominent Republicans running for that office. And they could not get Irvin to appear at candidate forums with them. The other four, the most prominent of them, it's probably Darren Bailey, the downstate farmer and state senator. And he's been unable to get get Irvin to debate with him. And so, and I was chronicling this at the Picayune Sentinel, talking about how odd it is that we are closing in on this June 28th primary. And in previous cycles, when you have a party looking for a nominee, where it's not an incumbent, the party that doesn't have the incumbent, they tend to debate quite a bit earlier than now. Like right now, we are. It's 35 days. The debates are scheduled for May 24th. May 24th is 5 days after early voting begins on May 19th. And there are two debates scheduled. They were announced right about the same time. You had the WGN TV and WMAQ TV announced they were going to have a debate on May 24th. And the one on WMAQ is at 6 p.m., and the one at WGN, which is, of course, up on the northwest side, is at 7 p.m. And the Darren Bailey, who's, like I say, probably the leading candidate for in the real MAGA crowd, hard conservative candidate, agreed to do the WGN debate. And Irvin agreed to do the debate WMAQ, and they've been fighting with each other over Twitter over which one is going to be the one where people are going to watch. And it looks like we may have two debates going on the same night, and those are the only two that are scheduled right now.
Are they saying they'll both do both? Is either of them going to do both?
No, Bailey and Sullivan committed to doing the WGN debate. Jesse Sullivan, he's the entrepreneur, for the guy who has spent most of his time out in California, have agreed to do the WGN debate. And Irvin has agreed to do the MAQ debate, but they haven't agreed to do each other's debates. So you're going to have partial debate on one station and partial debate on another, unless all these children can work this out. And I would say that the obvious solution would be for these stations to combine forces.
Yeah.
The thing about it is that these are not like, this is not the Super Bowl in terms of ratings, right? The reason why they're scheduled at 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. is because they're really not high viewership events. I mean, people like you and me, we're kind of political nerds and we'll watch. But the public is going to watch Wheel of Fortune, and it's going to watch whatever's on prime time. Right, and they will wait until the 10 o'clock news or the next morning's newspapers to read about what was said, and that'll be it. So it doesn't make any sense to me that these stations can't say, "Look, let's combine this event. Let's pick a neutral site if we must, or let's just agree on one side or the other, and get them all together, and then we'll have." Our anchors and your anchors be together. There's this whole thing about who gets to moderate the debate. We'll flip a coin, whatever. And the candidates need to get together just because the public really is going to need to see. I think voters are going to need to see how these candidates stack up against one another. It's going to have to hear. Because Mayor Irvin has really been ducking and dodging a lot of public appearances. He has tons of money. He's the guy who is funded. Very heavily by Ken Griffin, the wealthiest man in Illinois, has given him at least $20 million by now. I think it may be more by now. And so he has been blanketing the airwaves. Everybody who is listening now has probably seen Irvin's campaign commercials where he says, I'm their worst nightmare, and I'm the law and order guy who brought crime to Florida and everything like that.
Yeah.
And so he may be just dining out on his ability to pay for all these commercials and feels like, why would I get involved in one of these debates where I might say something really stupid and cost myself the nomination?
Well, gee, you ought to be able to stand up and talk at the same time if you want to be governor. But if Irvin is on MAQ and Bailey and Sullivan are on WGN, who's Irvin going to debate? I guess he could debate Rabin, but... it's not like the other side is completely without finances. We all are familiar with the I'm tough on crime. I put away the mother stabbers and the gangbangers and all that stuff, that commercial, the tough on crime, Richard Irvin commercial. But then there's this other weird commercial, which I'm just looking, I don't think is about to play. I'm going to pause here and play a few commercials. But pretty much every half hour, it seems, we've got a commercial running saying that Richard Irvin supports Black Lives Matter, as though that's such a unfortunate thing that nobody would ever vote for him if he did. In fact, I wonder if there was a debate, would you ask Richard Irvin, do you support Black Lives Matter? And if so, what does that mean, you know, to you or to me, a voter? Should I therefore not vote you or vote for you? Or is that a neutral thing? Let's pick it up here in a minute. The publisher of the Picayune Sentinel is a guy named Eric Zorn. He joins us on Mondays. He's telling us today a little bit about this race for the gubernatorial primary among the Republicans, which naturally would include some debates, but we haven't heard any. Two are scheduled for the same night, and it's not clear how all of this is going to shake out, but they'd better get it together. They're supposed to debate May 24th, maybe, or pardon me, is it May 14th, Eric? When is that?
No, it's May 24th, and Darren Bailey, Gary Rabin, and Jesse Sullivan have committed to WGN, and then there's a WMAQ, and the WGN debate is at 7 o'clock that night, and that's 5 days after early voting begins, just for the record.
After.
35 days before the election. After early voting begins. And then at 6 o'clock the same evening, WMAQ is scheduled to debate that Mayor Richard Irvin has committed to. And I'm not sure about Paul Shrimp, but he is he is one of the top five candidates, but he's not the major candidate. I think most people see this as a race between Bailey and Sullivan and Irvin. So you've got this very weird situation where two TV stations have yet to figure out how to do this. Bailey accused Irvin of wanting to go to MAQ because he thought he was going to get soft questions from Marianne Ahern, which is crazy.
What?
Marianne Ahern is one of the toughest political reporters in this state.
Ask Lori Lightfoot about that. I mean, come on.
So I don't know what's going on with that. That accusation is pretty nutty. I really hope that they can figure this out, because I would love to hear these candidates offer their proposals and challenge one another about what they're doing instead of just hearing their commercials that they run
Eric,
all the time.
Speaking of that, though, so we've been listening. I'm going to look again here and see if it comes up in this stop set. It doesn't. Hooray. But there's this commercial that I think is just so offensive to our listeners. We keep playing it, and it's essentially don't vote for Richard Irvin, which I think casts Richard Irvin as, you know, the favorite. I think this commercial sort of has a reverse effect where it's Richard Irvin, Richard Irvin. And if somebody who, and they don't say who else to vote for, it simply says, don't vote for Richard Irvin. I'm suspicious of that. Well, who's telling me this? Who do they want me to vote for? And if Richard Irvin is that upsetting to you, anonymous person who won't come forward, then maybe I ought to give him a closer look. And his central flaw, the commercial says, is that he supports Black Lives Matter. Anyway, what's your thought about that campaign?
Well, Irvin emphasizes in his campaign that he supports All Lives Matter, which is sort of a problematic slogan. A lot of people feel that helps the Black Lives Matter movement. The rap on Irvin from the Republican right is that he is not particularly Republican in terms of a lot of his social positions, that he embraced Pritzker and the COVID-19 precautions that Pritzker was promoting during the pandemic, mm-hmm. which is not over yet, I suppose, and that he, in many ways, his platform and his personality and his background suggests that he is at least somewhat democratically oriented, and so that's what they're talking about. They're trying to make people think that he's someone who probably voted for Joe Biden or probably voted for Barack Obama at one point. And of course, they fire back and say that Darren Bailey alleges that he voted for Obama in a primary back in 2008, which is just kind of silly. I don't really care as a voter. I don't care who someone voted for in elections way back in the back. I want to know what they're going to do right now about the problems that are facing Illinois. And that's what I hope a debate will not focus on these trivial things in the past, what people have said in the past, in the distant past, but we'll talk about what their ideas are going forward. And that's why you need a debate. You need them to push them off their talking points.
It would be a thoroughly entertaining debate. I mean, maybe it would be helpful, too. Maybe we'd get something of substance. But evidently, they're afraid to let Richard Irvin stand up and talk for himself. Darren Bailey will say anything. We really don't know that much about Jesse Sullivan or Gary Rabin, except that when they've come on the radio with us, they seem to be able to sit up and take fluids. Nice guys, articulate their positions pretty well. But I honestly would be very interested in, and I don't think I'm a political wonk by any stretch. You are. I don't think I am. And I yet think that it would be not only entertaining, but I think they have an obligation to show their cards to people, Eric.
Oh, I totally agree with that. And I would love to see them pit their ideas against one another. I'd like to see them questioned carefully by Marianne Ahern. For the sake. I mean, I would love to see that. First of all, even if none of them win, even if all five of them go down to defeat in the fall, it's really good to hear about their how they identify the problems facing Illinois and how they identify the solutions, what we need to do going forward, in their opinion, so that we can start talking productively about the solutions that need to be enacted to deal with the kinds of problems that we face.
I got 45 seconds left, but what are the pollsters saying? Is this J.B. Pritzker's election to lose, or one of these guys possibly going to defeat him?
The polls that I've seen, I haven't seen any comprehensive polls, but I have seen polls suggesting that Irvin is slightly out in front in this, but most people are still undecided in the Republican race. And the Pritzker's approval rating is still over 50%, which is where you need to be as an incumbent. I would say this is definitely Pritzker's election to lose. And in the state, it's a purple state like Illinois, Pritzker's got to be the favorite going into the fall right now.
Okay. Eric Zorn writes about this and more in something called the Picayune Sentinel. It's a newsletter that drops on Thursdays. You can get it for free or pay a premium price, which ain't much, and subscribe to it. And you see him in the Daily Herald sometimes, too. Nice to talk to you, Eric. I'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Great, John. Thanks.